Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, I mean, I'm quarterback. Chris is quarterback. Although Paul, I mean, Paul, would he battle you for the job? Like, would there be a quarterback competition?
I mean, there might be for a few days. It's going to be over in a hurry.
Wait. Shut off that audio. He wasn't supposed to hear that. What the hell is going on here? I didn't say that about Paul.
Is that age-based or ability-based?
It was both. I went at full pledge. I said, screw him. I'm going after him right here. Like, good to see you on a Wednesday.
Nice to see you as well. You're right. He's 10 years older than me. He was in the NFL for a couple of weeks. I was there for 7, 8 years.
8 years, right.
Yeah. You would have some good reasons to go there.
I know. It was more I just had to put a kibosh on Ahmed and where he was going to take that conversation.
Okay.
I had to stop it right there.
Yeah.
All right?
At some point, though, there's a turf field
indoors,
like next door.
Right.
Sometime, like in June, like
want to go out and throw it around?
Yeah. I mean, not competition-based.
Right.
Fun-based.
Yeah. I hear that. I'm always for that. I am. It's been a while. I haven't thrown a football, I feel like, since probably the Super Bowl week. So
I would suppose we'd
probably break some muscles.
Both have to sign a waiver from an injury standpoint.
Yeah. No doubt about it. I know. Now, I am a little bit – I got my arm in a little bit in baseball shape because my little boy's doing that and having catches
like
with him.
Playing catch, or going to the hole and winging it back to first?
Yeah, no. I mean, just playing catch. But at least it's got, like, the arm in shape a little bit. Because the first few days, I was like, holy
crap. Sore the next day, right?
Definitely. But now I'm doing it, and I'm like, okay, I'm all right.
Shoulder or elbow?
No, I get more in the back of my shoulder, like the deceleration muscles.
Really?
Yes. Right. Listen, this is a great. It's great you're bringing this here.
Yeah.
If you're throwing and you're getting hurt and your elbow is hurting, you're not throwing the right way. I'm just going to tell you that right now. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just trying to let you know.
Football or baseball?
Anyone. Either one.
Because there's a lot of pitchers who throw the hell out of it. They're throwing the right way. And
sure.
Their elbows are.
Well, yeah. They're also, listen, we're talking about pitchers, Major League Baseball. They're throwing screwballs and curveballs.
Yeah.
And the arm isn't intended to do some of that stuff.
Right.
So you're right. Mechanically, if they were just throwing fastballs, I don't think they'd have quite the issues.
Yeah.
But especially with a football. You know, the great throwers, Brady, Rodgers, whatever, they can throw all day because they can put their body in the positions to go, wait, I don't have to make it all arm, right?
Yeah.
And then, therefore, now you can throw all day to where now you can get a lot of reps.
Right.
See, that's the thing that people miss, too. The guy with the sore arm has to go, it's been about 50 or 60 throws. I'm about it.
Yeah.
Brady's going, this is throw 370 for me.
That's all right.
And I'm getting a lot of work here today and hitting the bullseye on all these.
Why did you say 370 and Brady? Why do those two numbers go together now?
You're right.
I think he could throw 375 and a half balls.
You're right. That was like a subliminal
something.
Yeah, something.
Yeah.
Freudian mind slip there. But there is something to that. And that's where I do get. I feel it in the back of my arm from the back of my shoulder.
Never been sore there.
From the slowing down part of my arm. Where
the D-cell.
The D-cell is really where you should be sore as a thrower.
Damn.
Yeah.
I'm learning here.
Right.
I didn't know that.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we can talk about that. Well, you know, we'll get into mechanics and everything like that as we go through the Chris Sims Top 40 Quarterback Countdown.
It's that
next
time
week,
of year.
And we'll get into all these fun conversations.
And that's kind of what the entire pod today is based off of. Kind of preview in the Top 40.
Right.
Looking back a little bit.
Cool.
Looking ahead a little bit. And, like, I know you do all kinds of rankings for the draft.
Yeah.
So ranking isn't new. But, like, I think this will be the third or fourth that I've been a part of with you. People get so fired up.
They do.
Oh, my gosh. The Giants could lose 28-3 on Sunday, which has happened, you know, recently.
Yes, right.
You could say whatever you want Monday on the pod, and there might be a little bit of anger, maybe a lot.
Yeah, right.
nothing like where you rank these guys.
No, it gets personal.
People are so angry at me because I'm sitting next to you.
Yeah, no, trust
me. And like
me,
in one way, it's good because there's that level of interest.
Yeah, yeah.
But
right.
Every spring that we do this, I have moments where I'm like, I cannot believe how upset people are at these rankings.
It's your quarterback is like fans' base's little personal entity. It's how they kind of view the football team.
It's almost like you're talking about their kid.
No, there's no question. It is. It gets very personal. It gets very personal with the comments to me on social media.
I can only
imagine.
Where
you go, damn, I'm just ranking quarterbacks.
I'm just
talking about you.
Yeah, right.
You know, and in all honesty, it's not an easy exercise. I don't sit here and tell you I'm right. Now, where I always feel I'm right is about the top five or top six. That usually is where I go, no, fuck you. I know more than you. Shut up.
Yeah.
But, man, it's not easy. And I'm trying to make a list for where they are right now, not what they've done in their career. I'm also trying to project a degree of, wait, the player played a lot last year. There's going to be growth, and he's got talent.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to place a little projection on it as well. And that's where it gets really tough. So it's
difficult.
It is difficult.
I know you put a lot of time into it.
It stresses me out.
Is it enjoyable at all? It's part of what you do.
Yeah.
So it's going to keep happening.
It's kind of, I don't mind sitting down and doing the exercise.
Okay.
I don't sit there and go, oh, man. I get stressed out because I want to be right. I want to be fair to people. I want my reasoning to be the right way behind
it. Yeah.
And that's where I get stressed out about it. I don't care about the backlash or anything like that. But, yeah, it's not easy. And where it gets really hard is like 20 through 40 and sometimes 15 through 20 because it's so close. It's nitpicking. And like I told Pete the other day, like the top 10, I got to shuffle things around, but I feel good about my top 10.
Yeah.
It's like 12 through 20 where I got to put on the film and go, damn, all these guys are so even.
It's so close. I mean, last year 12 was Ryan Tannehill, 20 was Cam Newton.
Right, so that one was wrong.
Like 12, but, okay, let's go one deeper.
Yeah.
You had 12 Ryan Tannehill, 21 Jimmy Garoppolo.
Sure.
Are there really, and we're taking a look at this now. I mean, is there really a 9 quarterback difference between those two?
It's tough. Exactly
to
right.
To your point, how difficult that section is.
100%. You know, I think, you go Tannehill, Baker Mayfield, Derek Carr, Matt Ryan, Kirk Cousins. You know, I had Joe Burrow there coming off the injury, but Carson Wentz there in that conversation. You know, that to me is nitpicky stuff. They're all good quarterbacks, can do things. That to me is usually where it comes into, I turn on film. And that's when I usually start to go, all right, wait, let me see what jumps out to me as I watch these guys. And, oh man, I forgot. He is good at that right there. Damn. And then that guy does have an issue. And that usually is the one little detail or whatever I need to differentiate in some of those tough areas. And then you see here the bottom of the list isn't easy either, Paul. You know, again, rookie quarterbacks, backup quarterbacks are in the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, quarterbacks that are young, that are just getting a start in the league. You know, all of those. So when you get into the conversation of, hey, Tyler Huntley from Ravens had a good year last year as the
nice
backup
job.
Quarterback,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
You know, you talk about him and Teddy Bridgewater and Drew Locke and, you know, Geno Smith and Case Keenum and Tyrod Taylor and Taylor Heineke and Andy Dalton on a new team and Blaine Gabbert. And how do you figure out that last 10 guys or so on the list?
Yeah.
So that's where I end up stressing out. It's really that 10 through 20 range,
the middle range,
about,
yeah,
and the very end range is the two parts where I usually stress and struggle the most.
I would think that middle range would be difficult because in a way it's a good compliment about the league that I think that you go 10 through 25 or 12 through 24, whatever it is, whatever you consider the middle part of the quarterback play.
Right.
I mean, I know there were Hall of Fame quarterbacks when your dad was playing.
Yeah.
But the average quarterbacks right now, I think, a lot of them you could make a case should be number 12. Instead of 18 12 instead of 21.
No doubt.
That middle portion is really, really good.
We are.
Not great.
No.
But good.
We're good. No. I mean, again, when you're talking about, you know, maybe the Matt Ryans or the Kirk Cousins of the world being around the middle of the pack.
Right.
I mean, fuck. Sign
That's
me up.
Pretty damn
they can
good.
Be my quarterbacks. I mean, yes.
Do you have like a big board at home where all year you're kind of sorting these and thinking about
no,
it? Or do you binge it and go all at once?
No, I do. Like last weekend, I wrote down all the names of the quarterbacks, you know, in the league. right? So I go through the whole roster and write them down. Then I get into, okay, now let me cross off the ones that are even in the running for a top 40.
Yeah.
All right, so let me just, okay, so, okay, now I get done and I go, okay, I got 48 guys here that are possibly in the top 40. All right, and then I look at that, and then I try to cross off a few more to go, oh, that guy's not really in this class or whatever else. And I get to that, and then I kind of take the easy part first where I just kind of dance. So now I go, okay, I got my 43 or 44 guys that I think are going to be in the running for the top 40.
Yeah.
And then I kind of briefly then go to the fun part in the top 10 and just go, let me just kind of get the top 10 out of the way. I'm not exact on it yet, but I got it close to the general way of what I want. And then I start to tinker off of that from there. And no, I'm not completely done yet. And I got about three pages of like just names crossed off, different lists, and all that.
Okay, so Chris's top 40 quarterbacks come out Monday. You start, and is it five at a time? Is
that I think we're going to do four the first day, maybe.
Okay.
We stagger it. We're going to have some on the podcast. Some are going to be on Pro Football Talk.
Yep.
Either way, we'll hit all of them. I mean, over the next month here during the slow time of the NFL season, this is where we will talk something every day and hit a few of these guys.
Some interesting notes about it as we preview what's coming the next month. 10 quarterbacks have changed teams from last year's top 40.
It's insane.
10.
Yeah, right. I mean, 10 quarterbacks changed teams. You know, we got new quarterbacks in the league. We got the Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell do I do with him? He hasn't played in a year.
And you had him at four.
I know. I had him at four. I mean, he's not going to be there this year. They're definitely not. You know, Russell Wilson, new team. I'm excited, all of that, you know. But, hey, there are some quarterbacks that rose up the ranks a little last year.
I would think. And, like, I kind of highlighted.
He didn't play his best football
right?
and
exactly.
was hurt. So that's when I tell you, like, my top 10 isn't finished yet.
Yeah, you're
still
working on it.
Those are the tinkering things I got to do. I know the names, and I'm pretty good with my 10. Like, I go, well, these are the 10 best.
Yeah.
I just got to figure out, wait, is this guy five? Is this guy seven? What is it? And that's where I'm at.
I had your list in front of me this morning when the kids were still home, and I think they were probably talking about tests or homework where I should be totally listening. I was like partially listening and like really focused on this list and thinking about guys that are real likely to move up. I highlighted three. I'm going to say two of these three guys are going to be in your top five.
Okay.
Okay, last year you had Matthew Stafford at 8.
Right.
Justin Herbert at 11.
Yeah.
Joe Burrow at 17.
Right.
My over-under on those three dudes – I say two are in your top five.
I don't think you're crazy there.
Okay.
I don't think you're crazy at all.
I know my guy.
I'm not yet. You know me exactly right. You know me enough and know what I look at quarterbacks.
Yeah.
You know? But yes. Hey, Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert are definitely top five-ish, okay?
Stafford's got to be ish?
Ish exactly as well. No doubt about it. I mean, again, it's yes. So that's exactly. I don't want to give too much away.
Didn't want you to.
But I think it's fairly. I'm not breaking news here.
Mm-hmm.
Herbert's a freak of nature.
Yep.
And definitely one of the best quarterbacks in football. Joe Burrow is a freak of nature and the natural at quarterback. And definitely in that top five-ish conversation there.
Yeah.
So, yeah, those are the little things I got to just kind of hammer away here the last few days.
And I would say three other guys that no matter where you put them,
right.
People are going to come at you. They're going to come at me
right.
because I'm sitting 5 feet from you.
And who are those three?
Here are my three names.
Okay.
Tom Brady.
Yes.
No matter what. Had at 10.
Yes. I will not be able to win no matter where I put Brady.
Of course.
If I put him at three, most of the world's going to go, are you fucking kidding me? He's 45.
Yeah.
If I put him at 9, the New England Tampa fan base is going to go, you're fucking crazy. He's number three.
Yeah. Either way.
Yeah.
Your first thought with the Fox money in years.
Woo!
What was it?
What was your
first thought?
Like, shock, wow, oh my gosh, unbelievable.
Yeah.
I honestly thought it was cool in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah.
You know, we talked about this a lot this morning with Florio. Hey, the one thing I'll say to where it's rare is, you know, I know people look at this and go, whoa, this is an unreal contract, and it is. But this is Tom freaking Brady.
There's only one.
He's gone to another stratosphere. He's not in.
Clearly.
I love Troy Aikman and Tony Romo and Chris Collinsworth.
Yeah.
This is Tom Brady. We're having a game in Germany this year. Who are we bringing over there? Oh, that's right. Tom Brady. That's right. He's going to go there to kick that off. He's the most global name in the sport. He's gone officially the last 2 years into what I would say is the Babe Ruth, Muhammad Ali, Michael Jordan, like,
oh, for sure,
that four, yeah, guys of being the number one icons in American sports history.
Yeah.
So, like, to get that guy to come to work every week and announce games when he's got money falling out of his ears and his ass,
yeah,
well, you're going to have to make something, like, right, you're going to have to get his attention.
Can't you just hear the conversation? Because I never got the feeling this was the number one thing he wanted to do.
Right.
They tell,
right,
his agent, hey, tell him if they double what they gave Aikman, I might listen,
right,
to him. Done.
Right.
What do you think? And, like, to me, like, my first thought, Chris, was I can't wait, not because of his Super Bowl titles or the money he's making. It's because he is so good at being politically correct and likable when we get to see him.
Sure.
You know, if the game goes poorly, he wears that.
Yeah.
And he's upset, and you can, yeah, see it. But he's so good at just like, I'm Tom. I'm likable. I'm going to say things in these little likable little snippets, and I'm a team guy. You've been in the booth.
Yeah.
You know how it goes.
Yeah.
He's going to have to say what comes to his mind,
right,
95 times a game.
No doubt.
It's not going to be, oh, I'm going to think about it. I'm going to,
yeah,
say this. I'm going to present
measured,
myself this
I
way.
Hurt this person's
We're
going to
get what he really, really thinks and feels,
because no,
there's no other way around it in the booth. And that's what I'm looking for.
I'm with you there. I mean, again, he's going to have a lot of things to offer. He's got more personality than people realize. He's got great people skills, Brady. He's very quick-witted. So don't,
and that's
going
to have to come out.
It will come out.
Yeah.
And, you know, again, he controls the conversation here, too. So it's not like he's being interviewed.
Yeah.
He'll keep it to football. But I honestly kind of applaud the whole thing.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, I think it's great for the sport. It tells you where the state of the sport is right now. The NFL is absolutely killing it,
yeah,
in every angle, and it's just going upwards. So, yeah, we're going to pay a guy this much money to talk about our sport, and it's just going to add to the grandiosity of a game on Fox, and we're going to turn it on, and it's going to be like John Madden. Like, damn, Brady's here. It's a big day. It's a big game today.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it's going to do. So I think it's kind of cool. But it's the first time ever, Paul, my biggest thing is,
yeah,
that one of these guys is going to be this available to us.
Yeah.
You know? Michael Jordan, Muhammad Ali. Oh, hey, there's a big event. Hey, there's Michael Jordan. Hey.
Exactly.
How are you? Oh,
show me
look,
for
Muhammad
10 seconds
Ali,
when,
right,
I'm wearing,
hey,
this.
Yeah, and, right, right.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll pay you to come to this party so we can take pictures.
It's all been controlled so
Brady
far.
Is going to go and put himself out there on a weekly,
yep,
basis and,
yeah,
be in our living rooms. And that's different. And
something
I
never
am
had.
One. I,
yeah,
do like it. I'm a big fan.
I kind of sidetracked
Don't
that
worry.
For good reason.
That was a good talk.
It's a timely conversation.
Yeah.
But the three names that,
yeah,
I know,
so
no
that's
matter what
one.
You do with them, Tom Brady's one of,
well,
them. My second,
yeah,
Tua.
Right.
No,
sure,
matter what.
You're right.
No matter what you do.
No question.
That really became a thing last year.
It's still a thing.
And in all caps.
Yes.
Jalen Hurts.
Yes, Jalen Hurts, without a doubt.
Did I leave anybody,
no,
out?
No, Jalen Hurts was probably my biggest fail of last year.
You which know? Is one of my questions,
okay,
here.
You got a question there?
Want me to ask? Can I actually ask that to you?
Yeah,
which,
sure,
is,
yeah,
the ranking from last year as you self-scout thyself that you regret the most? And I'll remind people, as I think you were going there, that Jalen Hurts was not on the list.
Yeah, he was not on the list. He was one of those guys where I just talked about. He was on that list, and I got down to, oh, wait, here's 43, 44 names that deserve it, and I didn't put him on. Hey, listen, I had concerns about him throwing the football. Don't sit here and act like you didn't fuck it, like it's not a real. Like, come on. Now, that's where I don't like when people do that. They act like some of the things I've pointed out aren't real. And I want to go, no. You watched the playoff game. There was other games, too. Like,
and
calm down.
I'm raising my hand.
Yeah,
and
ahead.
I'll also say the way,
yeah,
Philly started winning.
Right.
the way they started winning is kind of a recognition of what you said about your concerns anyway. They became the number one rushing team,
exactly,
in football.
Exactly.
And now they have the personnel to pull it off.
Right.
But part of the reason they went that route,
yes,
early in the season, because they kind of saw that too.
They realized that,
right,
that wasn't the best thing for him. We can't win the game throwing the ball and him being in the pocket trying to throw it 40 times a game. Now, so that was my question.
Yeah.
All right. But nonetheless, hey, there's more than one way to skin the cat, and,
okay,
he plays quarterback in a different kind of style than maybe the traditional way we've become,
yeah,
accustomed to.
And did a good job.
He proved that if they play this formula and they play to his suits a little bit,
yeah,
hey, maybe not as many high degree difficulty of throws.
Yeah.
Maybe a few more runs that are high degree difficulty,
yeah,
and they kind of vice versa that, you can make it happen, and he can play quarterback at a very high level that way.
Right.
He did a lot of good things. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
That was definitely my fail, though. I should have had him, you know, realistically. You know, again, I think going into the year, I should have had him somewhere in the 30s for sure. I think, you know, if I was going to be realistic about it without – actually thinking about what he did last year. He'll be in this list this year. I promise you that.
I put his
There's
over
no
under at 26.
Okay. All right. So,
okay,
yeah, we'll see.
Okay.
That's a good, I hear you. That's about a good spot there for you to set the line.
I can't see him being too much above or below.
He has some intangibles that I really like. His ability to throw the ball deep down the field is a skill that he has that I think is very good. Yeah, and we talked about some of the precision throwing. All that's got to improve. But he'll be on the list, and that was definitely my fail or the one I missed most. That and Cam Newton.
Yep.
That would be my other disappointment.
You had Cam at 20.
20. Yeah. Cam was just a little bit where I just went, I think he's still got enough in the tank for them to run the Cam Newton kind of offense and be able to do that and up in New England. And, you know, I was just wrong. I don't know what else to say. The athleticism is not quite the same.
The throwing ability
is. The throwing ability is definitely not the same. And all of that has affected his decision-making, too. So, yeah, there's a certain support and way of playing you need to have for Cam Newton to be on that list or in that list. And that was too high last year.
So I want to acknowledge and also apologize to Ron S. Austin. I basically stole his question. He said, I want to know where you're going to put Jalen Hurts. Philly is watching.
Okay.
So we'll all be watching to see where Jalen shows up.
Oh, he gave a smiley face with a little laughing emoji. Yeah.
We'll see if that changes to a beet red, crying, angry face. Corey Joskowitz asks, you had Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill in your top 25 last year. What is your biggest lesson learned from how that situation played out? Jameis played well, and when hurt, Taysom did not take over.
Yeah, no, you know, and I don't know if there was a lesson that I learned. I learned that, hey, Jameis is capable of taking care of the football and playing a smarter brand of football.
Yeah.
That's for sure. He'd be another guy I'd go the short to intermediate passing accuracy, quickness of the ball getting out of his hands has to improve. But, you know, I do think we saw growth, even though he got hurt last year, of going, wait, we saw a little maturation from Jameis Winston. Taysom Hill, you know, I didn't bring him up. Again, what he did last year at quarterback was not horrible. You know, let's not forget he broke his finger, right? And he kind of had to play through that as he was throwing the football, and it wasn't the worst. You know, I don't know what I don't know if there was a lesson that I learned more than anything. You know, that's the tough thing about doing this list is I'm going in the year going, wait, I don't know exactly who's going to start here, who's going to play. This guy is the toy, favorite toy of Sean Payton, you know, and there is some things that he brings to the table that I think are an interesting skill set. I do. But maybe I need to take more into experience, playing more, things like that. Taysom was one where I tried to project a little bit, you know, and I'm going to get wrong with the projections every now and then.
Right.
All right. That's where, you know, like, I've had years where it's gone either way. Mahomes' first year in football, going into his second year, I made him 30. Even though, I'd seen the preseason and saw his last game his rookie year against the Broncos and went, man, that motherfucker's good. I should make him higher. But I didn't do it because I didn't want to hear, well, how do you know he's not good?
I feel like you do that more now.
I do.
With your rankings.
I'm going to
be. You've had that kind of reaction often enough. You're like, damn it, I knew that.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
That
that's what I'm here. I'm here to do that. That's my job. So I'm hopefully going to be able to project those things.
But you don't hedge as much now as you used to.
No, I don't. I definitely don't. I'm not as worried about. I think about, you know, I don't want to say not worried. I trust my own instinct there a little bit more. I have found that I have been more pissed at myself when I didn't trust my instinct than the other way around.
With that thought, victory lap, what's the ranking you're most proud of?
The guy who won the Super Bowl. That's the other guy that, you know, we didn't talk about him. It's the other polarizing guy almost every year on my list.
Yeah.
I've had him 4 and 6 and 7, and every year it's, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford, he can't win a playoff game. He can't win a playoff game. He can't be that good. No. Matthew Stafford, as I said in the pregame leading up to the Super Bowl, has always been a Super Bowl quarterback. He just never had a Super Bowl team around him. And this was the first year, year one. It was amazing. Team finally as a team and goes right to the Super Bowl and wins it. And then not only that, gets to the Super Bowl and the whole fucking team gets hurt and he has to drag them to the finish line and win the game for them.
Yeah.
Like, that's where I want to say screw off to all the Matthew Stafford haters of the world. The team matters. It's a real thing.
You had him at eight, and like I said, I think he's a real candidate to be in the top five.
Yep.
I thought you might go with Mac Jones because even though we know he's better than the 30th best quarterback in the league now.
I was proud. Yeah.
I mean, back then, that raised a lot of eyebrows.
Yeah. No, I'm proud of that one. You're right, for sure. That's one where I look at him and go, I feel good about that. That'd be one where I'd go, you know what? I was chicken. I knew he would be a little bit better than that, and I should have done it. Mm-hmm. He fit New England. It was the perfect fit, all of that. So that's one. I'll tell you the other rookie I wish I would have. Justin Fields is one I'm wrong. Fields, with the way that played out, you know, what he did, yes, he should have been bumped up a little bit as well. So those are the ones that, you know, maybe jump out to me the most. I'm proud of Herbert at 11.
Yeah.
You know, people at that time were, I got a little crap for that too, you know, but again, I think we saw enough in that first year to go, whoa, we're ascending in the right direction here. And I know last year I was I almost put Herbert in front of Brady. I was thinking about it going into the process.
You had Brady 10, Herbert 11.
Yeah, yeah, right. But I gave Brady the edge there just because of, you know, the things he does bring to the team, the leadership, the fire he can bring to the team, all of those things I think are real.
Six rookies last year.
I know.
Six.
I know. Rookies this year is going to be a different thing. That's really a big part of my last piece of my puzzles here with this ranking.
Yeah. I see, according to the rundown, you are to ask me about the rookies.
Oh, damn.
I saw that.
I am. You're right. I forgot this little curveball. All right. So, rookies, top 40. You know, if it comes in and went, and this is Dave.
Dave's a ninja.
Look, thank
at me
you
for helping
that.
You
Way
with
to
the
go.
Social media.
That was almost a Matthew W. moment right there.
Makes me feel good.
If it comes in and win now with a generic team A as per usual, I guess he's trying to say that's how I do my rankings, which is what I do. Everybody's on the same team.
Yeah.
Right? So this is what rookies would you put in your top 40s at Dave Ninja saying, then Pickett's the guy. Maybe Ritter and Corral as the Darnolds and Daltons of the world vanish into the ether mm-hmm. as your high-end backups at the dregs of the list.
Wow.
All right, so first off, rookies, like what's your feel there? You think you got a feel for me and what do you think I'll do there?
First of all, props to Dave's a ninja for working in ether.
Yeah, ether.
And dregs.
Right.
It's a first.
A lot of good words there.
Okay, so do I think you will work in a rookie? Well, first of all, let's start from 10,000 feet. There's no damn way you're going to have six like you did last year.
No.
Okay, I'm going to say that. I will put the over-under on rookies that you have in the top 40 at two.
Two.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll say you'll have...
It's a fair number.
You'll have Corral and Pickett.
Okay.
35 or below.
Right.
Maybe 38 or below.
Right.
I could see 38, 39.
Hey, you're not, you know, I don't think you're going to be far off with those projections.
I wouldn't have any of them this year.
It's tough. I'm not sold they are.
Yeah.
I'm not. I mean, I don't have my, like I said, I'm not definite on my list here yet.
Right.
Those are some of the back end roster decisions I got to figure out here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say with Pickett, he's the obvious one because he went highest. I think the way he was described and what I saw is that he's right now, he comes into the league as kind of like a skill set of a really, really well-trusted backup.
Right. He's ready.
And that's what Mitch Trubisky
is.
And I don't think he'll beat out Trubisky. So I think Trubisky's going to be the guy in Pittsburgh.
Well, yeah.
So I wouldn't have him. I would say the one with the best chance is Corral.
Right.
Because as much as I like the way this has played out, that Sam Darnold's going to get a chance.
Right.
I think by the time we get to November-ish, I don't know if he's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
And Corral will probably have a chance to come in and show what he can do.
This is one thing where I know maybe my thought adjusting here, and this is where, you know, like just because I had Corral as my number one quarterback doesn't mean he gets ranked in front of Pickett starting this year for the reasons you just said. Like, I know Corral's my number one guy for the draft. I made him number one in my rankings.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But that's about a little bit of what we think he's going to be 2 and 3 years down the road in the future. This list is right now.
Yeah.
So that's where Pickett has a little leg up on those guys. Pickett, we know, is a little more ready right now.
Do you think he's better than Trubisky right now? Think he'll beat him out?
Yes, in my heart of hearts, I do. I think he will beat him out.
Okay.
I think that it'll be a pretty good competition, but I think ultimately he's the 20th pick. He's there at Pitt. He's pro ready. You know, I think he'll have to mess it up in the preseason for him not to be the guy.
You think he starts out a little bit ahead.
I do.
Before they even throw a pass together.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I would have said the other way. You would have gone Trubisky?
I mean, had they taken him at 8 instead of 20, just feels so much different that it's the back half of the first round to me. And I don't think Trubisky is going to be a top 10 quarterback, maybe a top 15 quarterback.
Right.
I think he's going to be decent. I don't disagree with that.
I don't know
if Pickett beats that out right
away. Yeah, I hear you. I mean, listen, Trubisky's got talent. There's no doubt. He's a good athlete. He does have a strong arm. There's no question. Hey, the things we need to see from Trubisky, and I think he's grown, and you know, we saw it in the preseason in Buffalo last year. You know, it was in the pocket, dicing people up, doing that stuff. That was not his bread and butter in Chicago, where you go, oh, man, that wasn't the best decision, or you go, oh, that throw was a little off target and all that. So that's where Pickett is really good.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that will be interesting. But, like, is Pickett's overall arm explosiveness on Matt Mitchell Trubisky's level? No. Trubisky's got a more explosive arm. Mm-hmm. Is he going to be able to run like Trubisky? And Pickett's a good athlete, but no, he's not going to be able to run like Trubisky. Trubisky's a phenomenal athlete.
Yeah, that'll be a fun one to see play out.
Tomas Pena,
yes,
are one of our regulars. Mm-hmm. He's saying, honestly, none. Can we clearly say today that Pickett is already better than backups like Andy Dalton, Case Keenum, Baker Mayfield, Jimmy G? All right, well, hey, those are all valid points. Baker Mayfield ain't no fucking backup. Let's just make sure they know that.
Yeah.
He ain't no backup. All right, they might have fucked him over to where he ends up in backup bill here because there's no more seats left because Cleveland screwed him. But he's not a backup quarterback. He's still a starter in the NFL. So is Jimmy G. Now, the other ones, the Andy Dalton, Case Keenum conversations, it's a good conversation to have. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
You know, and those are the things I got to realize. Kenny Pickett has more talent than those guys. Right. Is he as good at playing like the game and going through reads and all that as them right now? Yeah, I don't know. Those are the things I got to kind of work out in my brain. But like once he gets some of those aspects down, he's going to pass them in a hurry.
Right.
So that's where the projection thing comes in a little bit too, and that's where I got to balance it out and figure it out there.
I think I find that Pittsburgh one really interesting. Remove which one you like better, but you have a quarterback in Mitchell Trubisky who had a tough go.
Yeah.
Drafted higher than he should have been, was not in a great offense, but he piled up a lot of experience. I mean, basically a four-year starter.
Yes.
Okay.
And four-year starter in a shitty situation.
Bad situation.
Not a great offense. And
got to take that experience, get out of that bad environment for him. Go watch maybe the best player in football.
Yeah.
Josh Allen.
Right.
Dable was awfully good, too.
Yes.
This could be his last chance. So, like, the sense of urgency there for him
to
go seize this one.
Pretty big.
It's probably higher than Pickett, who is probably competitive as hell, but there might be a little bit of, let's just see how this rookie year goes. Okay.
Yeah, there could be. I could see it going either way. I really could. And that's one, you know, again, I'm just saying that I think it's Pickett.
Sure.
I don't know. I don't know either. Hey, our man at Caleb Beard, he doesn't think – he says none at all, maybe Pickett. The others probably won't get a shot to prove a spot barring an injury or a starter. Listen, again, I hear what you're saying, Caleb Beard, and you're right. But just because you don't get to prove it doesn't mean you don't get to make the top 40. You know, that's where I'll push back a little bit. You know, just because you don't prove it doesn't mean you're not in the top 40 for sure. And that's what we talk about all the time. You know, there's going to be some maybe young guys or talented guys or whatever who are going to be on the bench where I go, yeah, he's the bench here and this guy's starter, but I mean, this starter sucks and this guy's a really awesome backup and would be better if he just got to play on this team where the shitty starter is.
Right.
So that doesn't necessarily lock it in stone if you don't get to play or you are a backup.
Around any corner, within every battle, and with the dawn of each new day, the threat of the unexpected, the unpredictable, and the unrelenting lies in wait. But Marines will always be there. They are the constant in the chaos. No matter the battlefield, Marines adapt to win, defeating every shifting threat, protecting our nation's future. The few, the proud, the Marines.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow, and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour, and they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit truegreen.com, TRUGREEN.com, to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Pete was just whispering in my ear. Pete, can you?
We have
go
a special guest
time?
Here.
Okay,
he's ready. Oh, we didn't even tease this. We didn't even say it in the beginning. We got into
talk. We're so out of damn practice with this guy joining us.
This guy, Big Phil, is here today to join us via the phone.
Breaking news.
What's up, Dad? How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, and it's like you don't have to tease me or nothing because nobody cares.
I care.
Hey,
Phil.
Here he is, and thank you, Paul.
Yes.
And I haven't been on the damn podcast, I don't think, but maybe once or none the whole off season. So that tells me you guys are desperate, and you go, wow, can somebody?
It is
so
May.
You finally invite
it
my ass on. So I don't know
it's
what
May
else
11th.
To say.
Come on,
yep, desperation time, you know. It's a slow time. That's when we need
hey,
you.
Hey, Dad, you got anything you want to talk about? You got something, you know, whatever? And I say, well, this and that. He goes, oh, well, I talked about that already. Oh, okay. Well, I don't get to talk 16 hours a day like you.
Yes.
And I'm actually calling radio stations, hey, I'm available, so I can talk a little bit. You know?
Well,
and they're turning
off,
me down.
People do care, all right? We have people all the time on social media that ask,
yes.
like, where's Big
yeah.
Phil? Where's he been? All right? And I got a question for you right off the bat from social
right.
media. Chris Thomas, he wants to know, how did Big Phil rank the QBs in this year's draft? Specifically, what did he think of Matt Corral? And do you
Love
think
him.
He beats out Sam Darnold and starts week one?
No. Man, for Sam Darnold's sake, I'd go, if you let a rookie come in, I don't care how talented he is, and beat you out with that football team and training camp and preseason, then, wow, I don't know what to say. Give the money back. No, I don't think he'll beat him out for sure. You know, going to training camp as a rookie, everything that's involved and all that.
And if you're
no
not a
way...
first-round pick, it even adds yeah. to it more. Go ahead, yeah.
Well, not even – yeah, that – and even if he was a first-round pick, I don't think he would beat him out because it's not like Sam Darnold has no talent and he's been there and his freaking career is on the line here and he's got to try to save his starting job, maybe not for Carolina but somewhere else.
Right.
And, of course, a lot of that have to do with how Matt Corral does. But, hey – I only deal with what I watch on the games, and I don't know all the off-the-field stuff. What I heard about Matt Corral was probably more than even I thought it was, but I thought he was, you know, the best one as far as looking at the film and all that stuff coming out. The arm, his quickness, his accuracy, all that. And now, for some reason, he ran RPOs, and that's a really negative when all these other guys are grading him. Oh, he's doing a lot of RPOs. Well, what the hell is the other guys doing? Throwing 50 screens a game and, you know, missing people, whatever, and I don't know. So,
oh, I know.
As you can hear, Paul, I get a little frustrated listening to some people talk about certain things. And,
right.
And I've done a good job here in my career of not calling their names out and go, what the hell? I almost went on Twitter a few times after the draft before just to write things, just go, well, if I do that, man, that's really going to cause a firestorm. And I got enough problems in life, so I'll let it go.
Well, Dad doesn't like when, like, the people bring up and pick somebody apart for one thing.
Yeah.
And then there's seven other guys who have that same one thing.
Yeah.
And nobody talks about it. And nobody, like, oh, but we don't care about it with those guys.
Yeah.
We just decided to crush and ruin this guy's life on this one thing.
Oh, well, yeah. What happens
that's
is,
where
and,
me
know,
and Dad get heated usually.
Right.
And that's when the Simsness comes out and we start being smart asses and going, like, what the hell are you looking at?
Well, yeah, I don't get a chance to really do that. And sometimes I'm glad, but you know, I got this guy's number one. If anybody says anything different, I'm going to beat him up. And look at this. And, you know, I'm just like, oh, come on, give me a break.
Phil, you know? I feel like so much was made of this rookie class of quarterbacks, kind of on the negative side that, you know, did any really deserve a first-round pick? Or now that it's happened, dust is settled, both you guys know how important it is to land in a good spot. Good mentor, good team around you, good coaches. Which of the rookie quarterbacks, Phil, do you think ended up in the best spot?
Wow, that's a good question. I got to think about all of them real quick.
Willis in Tennessee.
You Well, Tennessee, of course, that's a good one. And, you know, we're going to talk about Tannehill a little bit. I was, or whatever. I'll just say this right away. You know, Ryan Tannehill's probably in the worst position of a lot of these guys. Well, look, we know Kenny Pickett's going to get to compete for the job.
Right.
So is that a good situation? Pittsburgh stable. You know, I think he fits a lot of things they want to do. It'll be interesting to see the offense, all that. But they want him to be the quarterback as soon as possible. That I think we all would probably agree on that. Mitchell Trubisky physically has talent, got a good arm. He's not the most accurate thrower in the world, but, you know, his arm is strong. He can make all the throws down the field, all that stuff. And he's just a, you know, he's a pretty damn good athlete, and he's a big dude. And that'll be interesting. I think it'll be very hard for Kenny Pickett to beat him out before the for the first game starting the year. But what was the question, Paul? Well, which one's a good?
Which one of those rookie quarterbacks do you think is in the best spot for him for this next year or two?
Well, you got to look at down there. You look at Ritter in Atlanta, and you look at Malik Willis, and I'll just make it quick, in Tennessee. Just right away, we have two guys that the fan base, the media, everything about it is they're in. The starters are in really tough situations because right. As soon as anything goes wrong, they're going to jump all over this. Well, we got to move on. We got to see the next guy, and I think that's probably the strongest when I look at it. Probably for Tennessee Titans. Just because the fact that Ryan Tannehill, the playoff game against the Bengals, it's there. It won't go away, and it'll be brought up every time he throws a couple picks or anything in any game. We're going to hear it probably the opening statement of on camera with the TV crew when they do Tennessee opening game of the year. Well, Ryan Tannehill finished last year with 3 interceptions. I think he stinks. And when are they going to play Malik Willis? You know, oh, my God. Of course, I'm exaggerating. They won't say exactly that, but it's – the watch is on, and anything preseason is set up. If you want it to go well, both of you know this, you got a rookie quarterback, Malik Willis, got a good arm, can move around. It's going to be there for them to orchestrate and make plays and to make these guys look good.
Right.
And so that will, if they do that and they go overboard with it, all they're doing is creating another problem for themselves, especially early in the year.
No question. All right, wait. So just so for our man, Chris Thomas, you would have made Corral one, right, just from the film?
How I rated him? Yeah. I just physically, yes. I think I do worry about his size. I even said it when I did one interview with somebody. I just said, look, he does look small when I watch him on during the games.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of thought – I didn't quite think that it was Zach Wilson – and I've heard you say it many times, Paul. Christopher and I went down to training camp with the Jets, and the first thing you did after you watch practice, he comes around, you see him, you go, he's a lot damn bigger than you think he is.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, so, and of course, he has tremendous talent. But I would guess Corral, then Kenny Pickett. I would go Malik Willis, Desmond Ritter, then Sam Howell of the Big Five.
Right. That would have been your Big Five. Yeah.
Yeah, and I don't even, like, second-guess myself. Yeah. I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, you had Malik 3 because you thought the rawness was willing or so much so that you kept him at 3, even though, you know, you saw some of the high-end talent and wow throws he was capable of making.
Yeah, I know, yes. But, you know, listen, in the NFL, it's great to have all that talent and all that and have that arm. But now you got to make decision-making, and all that is a big deal. And the complexity of the NFL, which is always a step up for every quarterback, but it'll be bigger for him than the rest of them because, you know, and I heard you say it, and Paul, I'm sure you agree. I shouldn't say that. I don't want to talk for you. But it was not a complicated offense, and there was a lot of things he did that will not translate to the NFL. Didn't find the next receiver, just lots of things like that. And will he learn that? Sure. But that takes experience. The only way you can be a good pocket passer and be this kind of guy, which you're going to have to be no matter who you are sooner or later in the NFL, and it comes a lot sooner than we think it does, you got to make decisions and you got to win with a lot of throws from the pocket. That's what we see every single year. And you talk about the mobility. That's great. It's a tremendous added thing for your offense, for the quarterback, but it's not going to win you the Super Bowl.
That's right.
So.
I don't know, Phil, when you jumped on, but basically Chris and I today kind of previewing that his top 40 quarterback, his list is going to start next Monday. One of the things I brought up to him, I look at last year's list, and I see Stafford at 8, Herbert at 11, Burrow at 17, and I think all three of those are going to move up. Which of those three, between Stafford, Herbert, and Burrow, would you have rated higher if you were putting together a top 40 list for this year?
Oh, which one would be my number one of those three?
Yeah.
I'm going to say, that's a really good one. I'm going to say Justin Herbert. Don't have to think about it. Yeah. I'm taking him first.
Yeah.
And everybody, I kind of did this. Over Joe Burrow? Hey, look, I love Joe Burrow. I think he did great. He's got intangibles that we really can't even talk about. There is something there in his natural leadership and all that. But Justin Herbert's physical abilities are so extraordinary that I'm just going to rely on that. And, you know, we really don't take into account all the great throws that he makes or these top quarterbacks do that other quarterbacks can't make, and we don't give them credit for that.
Yeah, right.
We just look at it and go, wow, another completion. Oh,
right.
You know, whatever. No, it's special. There's 8 or 10 guys max in the league that are going to make throws that the other rest of the league cannot make, and they're willing to do it. And we really never give credit for those great throws like we should. But you're talking about three really good throwers and passers of the football. And I heard Christopher this morning talking about Joe Burrow. Right on. So true. The fact you saw him warm up at the Super Bowl, Christopher.
Yeah.
I watched him in the championship game.
Right.
I noticed it all year and talked about it many times.
Right.
But even in person, I went, oh, my God, he's throwing the ball so much better.
Yes.
And that's saying a lot for a guy that
won
the Heisman Trophy, won the national championship, had a great rookie year and all that. But, man, that just shows you what you can do with trying to find out a way to do it better and then really working at it and getting it done. And the Cincinnati Bengals coaches, as I stood around some of them in warmups, I kind of brought it up and they just didn't even hesitate. Oh, no, what a difference. Man, you know, and they saw it right away too, which is really cool.
No question. Yeah, it popped out. Joe Burrow, one of those where when you see it in person, you go, damn, he's a little bigger than I thought.
Yeah.
Damn,
yeah.
His feet are damn, they're good. And, I mean, I watched every throw of him in pregame.
Yeah.
And every throw was a fucking missile.
Yeah.
And it was spinning hard. And I went, damn, his arm.
Yeah, I know. That was the first thing that caught me as I walked up. You know, I kind of sized him up. I kind of walked behind him, let me see. And I went, damn, he's big. And as Boomer Esiason always says, there's one key to being a really good quarterback in the NFL. And I said, what's that, Boomer? You got to have a big ass. He goes, you got to have it. You know, Frank Reich says he can never be, you know, that guy because he just didn't have that big ass.
Yeah, well, you and Boomer definitely had it.
Well, I don't know about that. I know Boomer's got a big mouth, but I don't know about the other part.
No doubt.
But, laughing, just saying that, when I did see him, I just go, wow, that was really what caught me a little bit of surprise.
Right.
The size of him, and it's, of course, that's size is a talent.
Yeah.
Right. That's why you feel sometimes all these shorter quarterbacks, you go, oh, no, but it does worry you as they stay in the league and as time goes along because, like I said, sooner or later, you know, the great, oh, he's a dual threat and all that, that sooner or later is going to die in your career. And remember, quarterbacks every year, no matter who you are, you're going to do what? As a runner, you're going to get a little bit slower.
Yeah, right.
Oh, are the defenses slowing down?
No.
Yeah, no. They just, oh, you're slowing down, my man. Let's get you out. And we brought in more speed and everything. The defenses, I even saw it last year with guys trying to run. Sometimes I go, oh, my gosh, that would have been a 20-yard gain the year before, and now you're getting 5 because the defenses are fast. They're used to guys moving, and, man, they hunt them down like they're, as I always say, like they're on the Serengeti. You know, there goes the animal. Here comes the whoever running them down and taking them down, that's what happens, I think, to mobile quarterbacks as time goes along.
All right. Well, speaking of taking them down, because I know this is where he wants to talk about this. I don't know exactly where he wants to go.
Yep.
But what's that?
Back to Tennessee and the Ryan Tannehill conversation.
Right.
Talking about that. I know he had the press conference a few weeks ago. You know, the whole, you got to mentor and babysit the kid and tell him every trick you got in the world. And he went on his mental health things. And I think it's something to do with that, Dad. But, go ahead. Just you got the floor. Kind of just rattle off some of the thoughts you have on Ryan Tannehill and the issues there in Tennessee.
Well, listen, I listened to the whole interview. I'm sure you guys did. I don't think most of the people, I don't know if they did or whatever, talked about it. But this mentor thing, I mean, you know, come on, let's don't get carried away with it. It's just like, oh, I heard one ex-NFL player say, you know, it was our job to get the next guy ready. That's what you do. And I go, oh, man, that's such a crock. I mean, come on. Yeah, what is Ryan Tannehill going to do? He's a really nice guy. I think we all know that.
Yep.
You know, he respects people and will treat them the right way. Malik Willis, he's going to treat him fine. They're going to be in sitting there watching film together, and they're going to talk out loud. I guess that's mentoring, you know. Ryan Tannehill's a really good worker, stays in great shape. He's competitive, all that. Malik Willis is going to see all that. Well, I guess that's mentoring.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is he going to just, you know, what are you wanting to do? And Ryan Tannehill said it right. They have assistant coaches, quality control people, the head coach or whatever, the offensive coordinator, all those guys are going to be working and helping Malik Willis. So where does his role come into all that except set a great example, be the person he is, and that's being a mentor.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, I just, well, this whole well thing, said. It just, oh my God, headlines on, you know, ESPN, Ryan Tannehill, whoa, whoa. But let's put it in context when he said the whole damn thing.
Right, yeah, it gets lost.
You know?
I think it's also, guys, whether it's business or sports, I mean, I hear this kind of conversation. It's on the person looking to get mentored to make that mentor relationship work out. Pay attention to what he's doing. Ask questions. How can you learn from him? That should be more on the person looking for the mentoring than the one who's supposed to be the mentor.
I agree with that. You got to endear yourself a little to the guy.
Of course, he's going to help you if you ask.
Yeah, Brad Johnson, he was great.
Right.
But then when he started to realize like I was going to be a puppy by his side all the time and that I wasn't trying to like screw him over out of the job, I just want to learn and, hey, I'm rooting for you like legitimately as I'm on the bench.
Yeah.
Like, come on, Brad. Like, I think once he realized that, you know, then it was like, he wasn't trying to go out of his way to mentor, but I was like, oh, he's going to the meeting room. Let me go in the meeting room and watch him. Oh, now he's talking about the play. Let me hear what he's talking. Oh, that was smart. Let me write that down.
Yeah.
So I guess he's mentoring me without mentoring me. Like your dad said, no, he didn't hold my hand and bring me into the weight room. So is he not a mentor there?
Right.
I just saw him going in and I said, damn, I should do that too.
Right.
You know, so dad, you said it right. I think that's exactly the right way. I don't get it either.
It is. It's just, I guess I really got frustrated. I said, wow, this is one time I wish I was doing off-season work and being on it. I would have just went on and I'd have went. It drove me crazy. I will say this too, and people are going to take this the wrong way, but the fact that he opened up so much about his off-season and the everything
mental
that the
health
last game
and all that.
Caused him, all that, the mental, I'm, you know, that's all great, but, you know, I don't know. I'm kind of in the school. I wouldn't open myself up too much because
people are
going to
jump on
it. Yes, they said, oh, we really commend him for this. But trust me, the people that say that they commend him for coming out and saying that are going to crush him for his weakness once if he struggles or whatever. That's just the way I look at it. And so I think sometimes it's good to get it off your chest, but think about it down the line. Hey, look, he probably did it. Well, I'm sure he did because it made him feel better, and maybe it kind of cleans his mind even more, and now he can go to work with the Tennessee Titans and just, you know, forget about what happened against the Cincinnati Bengals and just be who he is and feel really good about it and not be thinking about what went on last year and what I'm dealing with now.
Right.
Man, isn't it amazing that, you know, he's had a really good career at Tennessee.
Yeah.
His numbers are never going to reflect what he is because of what they do. So everybody get off of that stuff too. But I think he's in a very tough spot. And I even wrote down as
Clock's
I talked
ticking.
To you.
Yeah.
And I said 1 year, probably two at most. And look, they have a good year, which they are a good football team. They go to the playoffs. It's all or nothing again. It'll be all or nothing for sure.
Yeah.
If they go to the playoffs this year. And we're going to judge everything about Ryan Tannehill and – it's just going to be an interesting scenario they got down there in Tennessee.
No doubt.
Look, the Tennessee Titans taking Malik Willis. Wow, of course. Look where they got him.
Yeah.
That was great.
Right.
They didn't have plans to take him in the first round and then let him go in the second round. So, you know, I think they know they got a guy that they're going to have to work hard on or whatever, get him ready for pro football. And I always say this, if you got the talent, sooner or later you'll find a way for it to show on the field. And if you can't, that means you got other things going on, but I have no doubt all these young quarterbacks, once they learn the rhythm of the league, see that they go, wow, this other quarterback's a lot better than I thought. And, you know, see it in practice. This won't be college anymore. You know, you're not going to clearly be the best thrower on the field every time you go out there.
Right.
Some of them will, but you know what I mean. And It takes a lot of hard work to become a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, no doubt. But yeah, I think you said it right. Ryan Tannehill's on notice now, and he's going to have to play his ass off to keep his job for sure, at least into the future.
And he's going to have to really just be tough as hell, and it's him against the world. I don't know what else. Yeah. I think that's the best way. It's him against the world.
Right.
And, you know, and in the back of the mind of a lot of these coaches on Tennessee, they're like, wow, you know, they want to see it. And they're going to judge him probably differently just because of that one game. Playoff games, that's the great thing is going to the playoffs. The bad thing always, during the playoffs, especially losing the Super Bowl, if you don't play well and all that, man, it's held against you forever.
Right.
So,
right.
Unless you go out and win other ones.
Because he's played really, really well. I mean, his stats or the team's win-loss, I mean, been really strong in the regular season.
He's 30-13 since he's been the starting quarterback in Tennessee.
Good one.
They can't wait to throw him out of there because he had one, you know, bad game in a playoff game because of that.
Well, you know, too, I'll just to always emphasize it, it's not like they're throwing 15 and 20 screens a game down there.
No,
it's,
that's right either. It's not quarterback
conducive. It's another 15-yard in cut.
Right,
yeah,
yeah. Right.
Right.
Yeah, it's down the field.
It's high-effort throws, and, you know, they're like he's done a really good job with that, but – like I said, he'll have to fight his way through it, and we'll find out a lot about him and that football team as they start.
All right, well, let's talk about another struggling quarterback who's fighting his way through life. His name's Tom Brady. He isn't winning.
Oh, yeah.
He isn't winning. Dad wants to talk about Brady, Bruce Arians, all that. I mean, first off, I mean, I don't even know where you want to go with this, but like,
I don't either.
Okay.
No, I do. I do. I mean, I got some thoughts.
Oh, do you want to go with the Brady TV stuff here at all? Are you going
to
get into
that?
No,
I would love
not
to...
yet.
Not yet? Okay, fine. So, go ahead. Hey. It's your podcast. You just keep going and run the show. Don't worry.
Oh, man. Do I get paid for it? God damn. Maybe I like to do one of these things in my life where I actually get money. But it's the one thing that I think is a great learning lesson for all quarterbacks, and I put myself into it as an X1 U, whatever, is Tom Brady has stayed natural to what his body should be like.
Yes.
And, you know, this Alex Guerrero thing, and I'll say this, when he did it, I saw his, I said, man, come on. You got a strength coach up there. Don't do that. But now looking back, wow, what a great move. He was ahead of the curve, got somebody to take care of him. He learned more about his body, all that. And, of course, we know he's neurotic about throwing the football and his mechanics and it's unbelievable. Christopher, when you were on today, y'all showed him throwing the ball, and I went, look at that. Oh, my God. I mean, he was just ripping the ball to the receivers and everything. But the fact that he stayed natural has really been a great reason why he has stayed in the league so long. He's not put any stress on his body through the training, all that. And, wow, I think it's a great learning lesson to build up, to get much bigger and, you know, muscled and all that. You don't want to do that. And I think – the fact it's helped him take care of his whole body, but also it's really helped him, too. That's why it was just another reason why his arm has stayed so lively and so good through the length of his career.
Right.
And my point being, if I was a quarterback in the league now or going in the league and start making the money of these guys, I would absolutely, without question, hire those guys to be around me and to take care of me every damn day.
So, Phil Simms, you know, meathead from Kentucky, living in New Jersey, who used to squat with the offense and defensive linemen and do 110-pound dumbbells,
curls,
bench press, and everything.
Seen those videos?
You've seen the one doing the power clean of the dumbbells. You're telling me you wouldn't work out like that if you had to do it all over again?
I would definitely change a lot of things I did in my career.
Yeah.
You know, not only that, I think the people around and all that would do it a little bit different.
Yeah, right.
And,
you know,
look, I'm not complaining about – look, we trained hard. That was great. Brought the team together. We had so many guys in off-season program. And all we did was lift and run. Run, lift, and run some more. That was it. It was all great. But, yes, I would definitely change a lot of things on how – what I did to my body. I would have actually thrown more during the off-season and hope that I had somebody to even show me more about how to do it easier and better. You know, that kind of gnaws at me a little bit. You know, as I watch eighth graders now throw the ball, and I go, damn, this technique's better than mine was ever in my career. And it's, you know, because they're learning.
And coached,
so I think that's just – it's just a great lesson for everybody, all players. But, again, they can do this because of the money and everything, and they're learning a lot, too, as they go through their careers. And Tom Brady made a great adjustment doing all these things. So, you know, that's just my first thought on him. You know, you look at all these other quarterbacks, I will say, I heard you say this too today, Christopher. Christopher said, you know, you got to look at Tom Brady now in a whole different light than you ever have. And how can you even argue? I can't, and I won't. He's the greatest of all time because of longevity, the fact that he can throw it the way he does. And now, with his great success and all that he had in New England, he's taken all that and just doubled down.
Yeah.
Now he is truly the leader of the team. He's a coach, really, whatever.
Yeah.
And he demands, and he's such an influence on the whole organization. I don't know if I've ever seen that. Now he's knowing what he's learned the last 2 years, now going into year three, that Peyton Manning did this his whole career.
Yeah, right. He's going, damn, why did I do this?
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, Peyton walked in the building and everybody stood up and saluted, like, here we go.
Yeah.
Because the players, the coaches, everybody was on notice. And that is not an exaggeration because I covered many of his games, go to many practices, and the only voice I ever heard on the damn field was Peyton. And which when that first time I did it and I saw it, I just went, oh, wow, what the hell's going on here? And it's just, but that's the control he got pretty early in his career, and he took advantage of it, and he influenced all the other guys to make sure they knew their jobs, prepared, and all that. And that's the other thing. Last offseason, I did some camps with my son, Matt, or your brother, Christopher.
Yeah.
And we were teaching routes to receivers, so he made a video. And we're watching the video, I'm going, you know, and it's after 15 plays, I go, damn, is Tampa the only team that ran good routes? And all the little things he was showing, I go, oh, my God, it's just not talent. It's the way they do their job.
Yeah, right.
And, oh, my God, they're route running. Then I'm on, you know, inside the NFL, Julian Edelman's on there, and I brought up some of these points to him. And he goes, well, yeah, that's Tom. And I go, it's not the coaches down there? He goes, it's Tom. If you don't run the routes the right way and the way he wants it, the way is right, he won't throw it to you.
Yeah.
And I said, yeah, I've always heard that. Is that really true? And he goes, oh, absolutely, it's true.
No doubt.
And I just went, yeah. So the fact, just think of that. All that talent they have at receiver. And there he is, coached them along with the coaching staff and getting the little things ironed out. That's just another reason why we saw him throw for all those yards, all those touchdowns. And I don't think it's going to change this year with Byron Leftwich calling plays, which I want to talk about, and Tom Brady being quarterback, coach, everything about it, talent, you name it, he's got it all.
New England is – nobody can teach route running like New England.
I guess.
I've hit this on it before. Just nobody – how to run every route, there's little nuanced difference. It's the same route, but it's cover two. Oh, no, now it's cover three. It's the same route, but there's going to be a nuance to it. And that's where they're special, and Brady's carried that down there. And, yeah, I'm sure he's taught that whole staff there a little bit about route running and how to do things.
Right.
You know, that to me was totally – again, I was with John Gruden and some other great coaches. When I got with Josh McDaniels in Denver, I was like, damn, so that's how they teach that route all the time. It was eye-popping that way. I want to just piggyback off of one thing what Dad was saying there a little bit, just because, you know, yeah, I'm looked at as, you know, the Tom Brady hater, which I don't hate Tom Brady at all. I'm just maybe one of the few people that ever will question anything, and I just don't let everybody just slobber all over him all the time, and sometimes I got to go pump the brakes. I mean, he doesn't get the credit for everything, so I get looked as a hater. Yeah, I was never one to go, Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. You know me. I always push back against that.
Yeah.
I did. But, like, if I'm going to be real about the situation, it's kind of eaten at me really since the end of the regular season. Just go, all right, Tom Brady at his ultimate best. No, I don't think it's as good as Peyton Manning at his ultimate best or Rodgers at his ultimate best or even John Elway at his ultimate best. But, I mean, if you're going to be playing, you know, A football for 21 freaking years and do it that well and have more physical talent than people like to give him credit for, like what Dad's talking about, his arm. He can do it so easy, and he gets his body in all the right positions that you don't really realize how fast the ball is traveling until you see it in person.
Yep.
So because of that, I'll be one to tell you, I've definitely changed my tune a little bit to some people I've said on radio and things like that because of the Brady conversation and all that.
Best of all time?
I don't know, like Dad said, I don't know how you can deny it anymore.
Yeah, right?
It's kind of hard to deny it.
Yeah.
It is. Do I think he's the greatest talent of all time? No. But everything else, yes.
Yeah.
That's so true. I think, you know, a couple things. Yes, John Elway was an unbelievable talent. And I've said this to you guys. The first time I covered one of his games as a broadcaster, I went, oh, this son of a bitch is pretty good. I stood there behind him in practice and went, okay, yeah, he is pretty good. You know, when I was playing, to hell with John Elway. Yeah, you know, I don't want to hear about that.
Right.
You know, but, you know, that's one thing. And I think, too, we got to remember, when you think about Peyton Manning during the prime, early in his career, second year on, to me.
Yeah,
his
right.
Prime, I mean, he could really throw. And, you know, I mean, that was a hell, he threw his arm, like Joe Burrow, even more drastic. From year one to year two in his career was a huge difference.
Huge.
I mean, he really struggled throwing the ball as a rookie.
He's throwing wobblers and ducks and everything, yeah.
But then the second year, boom, spiral, perfect, spiral. Just and bombing it away, whatever. And I had him, I think, the second game of his second year. And I went down there and I watched practice the whole day, and I just remember going, wow, what a difference. I couldn't get over it.
Right.
I mean, he was really throwing the ball with power and everything you want. Of course, Peyton had really, yeah, he wasn't a scrambler, but his feet were phenomenal.
Yes.
And the same with Tom Brady. As I just watched a bunch of his stuff because I'm trying to make a video of how to do certain things as a quarterback. And, of course, he's a great one to always check, and easy to get examples from him. But his footwork in the pocket and how to create leverage when people are around him, stand on his one foot, whatever it is, or use his upper body to make the throws, he does a great job. And that comes from talent, taking care of himself, and just having so many repetitions during off season, throwing whatever, and so much in the games that you're right. I think we underestimate what we see on TV and just take it for granted.
Yeah.
It is special.
Yeah, But pregame last year, I won't forget, opener, Cowboys, Buccaneers.
Yeah.
Right.
Man, there was no question in who had the strongest arm on the field.
Oh, not even close.
Yeah. Dak Prescott was out there. I mean, he's a good quarterback. He can't spin it like Brady can.
I've seen him from field level, I don't know, 6-7 times.
Yeah.
The first time I saw it, probably 05, 06, Phil,
right.
I kind of thought, okay, here's a kid. He's really smart. He's in a great system. He's just getting the most out of his abilities, a gamer. I saw him on a cold, windy day there in Foxborough from field level, and I said, okay, I take back everything I ever thought I thought about Tom Brady's ability.
Yeah.
He is throwing the hell out of this ball.
Right.
RPMs, spirals, comebacks, deep post routes, everything there, and it looks perfect. Like, I had no idea until I saw it in person.
Yeah. No, Dad,
you know what? I kind of know
early.
You're
so right. I think there's, like, always, and I watch him play, and, of course, I watch the videos. And I watch and I go, oh, you know, it's just, okay, he just throws it so hard sometimes. I think he just feels like, I got to just really do this. I just want to do it for my own self, you know, to feel good.
Yeah, and a perfect spot.
Throws it,
right.
And I just go, God, he threw that ball so hard, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And, of course, I'm sure he does it in practice all the time or whatever. And the guys, I don't see him, that I don't go, oh, he threw it too hard, that's why they dropped it. No, they're not doing that. They always say this about receivers, and I've asked many in my life, the guys that I work with, everything. Do you want a quarterback to throw it really hard, or do you want one with great – oh, no, I want that ball as quick as you can get it in my hands. And, of course, they want spirals too.
Yeah, right.
Because it just – science tells you it's easier to catch a spiral spinning that hard than
it
is a knuckleball, you know, at 100 miles an hour. But I do want to talk about the – real quick.
Yeah. What?
The Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich down there.
Okay,
and, you
cool.
know, I heard you talk. Yeah. Well, I heard you talking about it, Christopher and Paul, you know, and Bruce Arians, whatever you guys, you can talk about it later, how he interjected or whatever, or some people say, into the game plans. And, you know, Parcells, and I always hate to go back to him, but I was around him the most of any other coach in my life.
Say it.
But
go ahead.
He put his. He would walk into the coordinators on Tuesday night and look at their board and see what's on it. But he would always have the perception of what he wanted the game to look like. And that's what he laid out to us on Wednesdays. And that's what we went. It's not like he says, oh, I know this play. Sometimes he'd go, hey, let's throw that damn pass where we do this. He'd say it during the game. He didn't even know the name of the call.
Right.
But his overall sense of what to do to win the game and how the offense is going to play and the play calling, the defense, and he would interject himself on both sides of the ball. he would change defensive calls. We're not doing that. And then, you know, as I've told you guys many times, I could stand there, wait for the signal to come in the sideline, and I could see Bill going, shut the F up, run the ball. You know, I could read his lips going, oh, man, he's killing everybody on that headset. But so just having the overall philosophy is, I think, the way to go almost as a head. I know a lot of them are calling plays, a lot of head coaches now, especially offensive guys, that's for sure. But just having that thought in that way, I would think Bruce Arians would have been more involved in that
yes.
aspect
right.
than trying to come in and just start scratching and telling everything what he wanted to do specifically in a game. So
right. yeah,
what's a head coach yeah. do? Manage the players, put them in the right frame of mind during the game, manage the game. That's the other thing, too. You know, managing the game, which is that takes a lot of concentration.
Yeah, and he was good at that.
Yeah, but, I mean, for all coaches.
Yeah, sure.
To me, it's, yeah, manage your players, all that. But the biggest thing is manage that game. And that was probably – I knew how to do it. I really did, and I'm not even bragging. And as an announcer, that was the best thing I did. I understood timeouts, what to do, all that other stuff, managing the game. I was always trying to manage the game from the booth. And I know it's a lot easier in that booth than it is standing on the sideline making those, you know, which I found out once when I coached an all-star game. I was like, damn, this is hard. You know, what do I do? It's fourth and two. Do we go for it? Do I kick? Hell, I don't know. What do you think, coach? And I'm asking everybody else for their opinion. I'm the one who got to make the decision. So, but, you know, that's just a little thought about Bruce Arians thing.
You're spot on, no doubt. I tried to convey that to Florio a little today and probably didn't do as good a job either. But Parcells is always the one that comes to my brain, too, just from my father's stories, always. I can still remember Dad telling a story about them getting ready to play the Eagles, right? And Parcells crossing plays off, going, we can't run that against this D-line. We can't run this, man. And you said something like you guys went into the game with, like, 10 plays total because they were so good you were just going to be good at your 10 plays and not let them ruin the game. And I think you won that day. So that's what I had. Coach does do at times.
It was the great one. I mean, we had a game plan. I looked at it and went, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, that big sheet you have, hell, we had nothing on it. And Tom Coughlin, who was the receiver coach, was in a total, like, going to have a fit. What are we going to do? We don't have any plays. What are we going to do, Phil? I go, you know, I don't know, coach. You know, this is all during the week. And as we throw the ball, do all that really well, the game is over. We won. And all that, I'm walking across the field, and Tom Coughlin comes by me. He goes, he's a genius. He's a damn genius.
Winning.
It's unbelievable what we did today. I mean, we had 7 pass plays in, and we threw for 280 and runner. You know, I'm like, yeah, okay, I don't know what to say to all that. That's what we kind of expected from him. But, yeah, if we ran the ball, I'll put the Washington Commanders in this. On the turf in Giant Stadium, Joe Morris, let's just say he ran for 180, which he did. He had some huge games against Washington. And then if we played him 4 weeks later and would go down there, we wouldn't even try to run it. It would be, we're going to throw it down the field and we're going to do it a lot. We're going to really take some shots. And we did it. And it would be from the first play on.
Yeah.
Because he knew, oh, they'll get ready to stop our run game. We're not going to be able to run it. They're big, whatever. So we're just going to keep throwing it.
Right.
And, it was really cool. He could change his philosophy from one game to the next, from one half to the second half, and that's why he was a great coach.
No doubt. All right, we got to go.
All right, I'm done.
That was a good one, though. That was good. We had you back with a bang. We covered a lot of different things. It was actually really good. Good subjects.
Well done,
you,
Phil.
The man, Dad. Thanks a lot, man. Thanks for coming.
Well, you know, give me a call about November. And you, when you get a little strapped, season gets old, you need some help. You know, then you'll call me. Okay.
All right. Yep. We'll bring you in for the season preview here in a few months.
Oh, the season preview. Okay. All right, Paul. Listen, good to talk to you, man.
You too, Phil.
And I don't know what to say to you, Paul, except I'm sorry.
Sorry for what?
So you got to
work
with
you know that guy next to you. Holy Christ! Just think, I had to try to raise him.
You should congratulate me. Yeah.
Yeah. You're doing a great job. So you guys keep it up, man.
I love listening
to you.
Thanks, Phil.
Right, see ya.
See you, buddy.
See ya.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed, also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well.
So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter TruGreen, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. TruGreen is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let TruGreen do your lawn care. Visit TruGreen.com, TRUGREEN.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Big Phil's crushing it on social too, by the way. Instagram. You know,
he's
awesome.
He's actually become like an everyday watcher of the pod.
Oh, really?
He wasn't always that way. Yeah. He'd always get up in the morning, watch Pro Football Talk. But
yeah, I knew that.
He's gotten to a routine of, you know, in the afternoon or whatever during the week, and he'll throw on our pod, and he's really been listening, like, to the point where I'm like, damn, you really listen to the whole thing. And he's like,
that's cool,
because he'll ask me questions and stuff. So it has been cool. There's no doubt. And it was good to have him back on. And we will continue to have him on throughout this process. When we go Chris Sims' top 40 quarterback countdown, we'll certainly get Dad involved in that too, to hear his thoughts on some of this stuff. And I do need to be better at getting him in, because when Dad talks too, I like it. It sparks things in my own brain that I want to ask and know about football as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So we got some points bet stuff here. All right.
There we go.
2022 quarterback props.
There we go. Should we start with the passing yards?
Yeah,
leader?
Let's do that. Let's hit it.
Okay. We take a peek there. Justin Herbert, number one, plus 700. We all know what plus 700 means. At least one of us up here does. Mahomes is tied with him, and Brady just behind at plus 750. I'd take Brady there. Not just because he's in the headlines, but Tom's my guy.
Yeah, well, for
passing yards, I'm not predicting wins, just like yards.
Hey, I mean, led the league last year, right? So, they're a great offense. They can protect the quarterback. It's one of my favorite offenses in football with Byron Leftwich and what they do. I mean, the top three, I think, are – you should feel pretty good about that. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I look at that and go, yeah, I mean, that to me would be, I think, the top three I would look at right off the bat to go, huh, yeah. I think I would take them. But I will say on this list right here, Joe Burrow and I think Dak Prescott could be the two outliers that I would look at that can maybe challenge this to a degree. You know, Burrow, with all that weaponry, their offensive line's going to be better. They're going to have, I think, a certain confidence and way about them to where I could see that offense even opening up more this year and them even being more explosive on that on a consistent weekly basis.
Yep.
And then, of course, Dak Prescott and company, too. You know, there's talent. They got a lot of talent. He's talented. It's a pretty good offense. Defense isn't great, which means it's going to keep the scoring going and all that. That would be the two out of the top three that I would kind of look at just to say they could challenge in the yards department.
I think there's some fun long shots. And I don't know if we have the graphic of the guys kind of on the next level, Pete, or if we're just discussing – So here's what I'm going to pick out for long shots. Again, this is points, bet props, passing yards, leaders this next season in the NFL. Trevor Lawrence plus 3,300. I think he's going to be a lot better this year.
Agreed.
And I don't think they're going to be winning a lot of games. They're going to be behind. They're going to be chasing.
Yeah, right.
I could see him having a shit ton of passing yards.
I don't disagree with that. You know, and again, I think, you know, the offensive line being a little bit better.
Yeah.
He's in a better system altogether with Doug Peterson and company.
Yep.
And you add in Christian Kirk and Evan Ingram, a tight end, a little more talent there. Yeah, I could see them putting up numbers. I don't disagree with you there.
And another long shot, if we're coming off the Derby and still thinking about what we saw there at Churchill Downs.
Yeah.
How about Jared Goff at plus 8,000? Again, I think he'd be better this year in the system.
Sure.
You know, see how healthy they get with Jameson Williams.
Right.
But plus 8,000, I could see him chasing a bunch of yards.
Yeah, I could see that. I mean, they're going to be better. I don't know if I look at him to go, I think he can be consistently good enough to put up the yards on a weekly basis.
Yeah.
But your point about him being better, them being better,
And being behind?
Yes, right. I don't disagree. He will be behind in some games as well. I'm trying to look here if there's any other long shots that really pop up to me a little bit. Like, for the same reasons you said Trevor Lawrence, I think Zach Wilson and that crew could actually have a pretty explosive year throwing the football.
Plus 66.
He's plus 66, right? Yeah, you know, Russell Wilson, Kirk Cousins, Deshaun Watson, that crew there at plus 2,000. You know, again, I could see Russell Wilson maybe having a type of year to
– I could buy that.
Unleashing him, those weapons, their conference and division, getting used to the new Nate Hackett offense and things catching them by surprise. He'd probably be another long shot I would look at there for sure.
Plus 15,000. Got five guys there. Locke, Fields, Darnold, Corral, Heinicke.
Yeah.
Anyone get one of your dollars?
No, they're not. Not to be the favorite for leading the NFL in yards. Definitely not. Not that group right there. They might surprise some people with their yards, but none of them are going to lead the NFL in passing yards.
We've got another. Are we ready for the next, Pete?
Yeah.
Points bet, 2022 passing touchdown leader. No surprise. Tom Brady, number one, plus 500, and Mahomes just behind him, plus 550. I'd take Brady again.
It's hard not to.
Right?
I mean, Stafford was second last year with 41. That's where people – I don't think people realize how many touchdown passes Stafford had. I would think, again, his play, it's only going to be more comfortable and feeling better within that offense too.
Yeah.
This one's tougher to me. You know, Brady, I would probably favor Mahomes.
Really?
I feel like I would. I mean, they're always looking for cheap ways to throw the ball, do all of that. I mean, I understand your thought about Brady. You're not wrong there. You know, Mahomes, Herbert, Allen. You know, I could see any of those guys challenging it this year. You know, what hurts sometimes guys like Allen and Mahomes, too, is they might get down at the 3-yard line and they have a quarterback design run and they run it in. They don't get the touchdown pass. There is that issue as well. But, damn, there'll be no shortage of touchdown passes with really the top five or six guys on that list. That's going to be a lot of balls through the air.
Looking at the long shot list here now, you've got $10, okay? You got 10. Mm. Found it in your pocket while doing laundry. I know you don't do laundry. I'm just creating a scenario.
I don't do laundry. That's right. That's right.
Who's getting your 10?
Well, to me, these are the ones that are worth taking a little bit more of a bet. Like the long shot yardage, like lead the NFL in yards one, to me, you're being crazy if you're picking some of the guys down the list there. This one, you can like justify a long shot touchdown passes, I think, a little bit more than maybe the other stuff there. You know, again, like you go back to Russell Wilson at plus 1,600. Mm. They're going to want to justify the trade, all the money they're paying them, and everything. I can see them getting on the one-inch line going, we are a blade of grass away from scoring a touchdown. Let's throw the ball to Jerry Judy.
From winning the Super Bowl? Are you talking?
Yeah, exactly. Right. But that kind of same thought there.
Yeah.
So that's where –
he's a stats guy too.
He is.
Yeah.
The whole Green Bay thing, that's what they are a little bit up there. Yeah. And then he's a stats guy.
Yeah.
So that'll be, I think, one where I go, I could see him challenging like in the touchdown pass department. For sure.
Yep.
He jumps out to me in a big way. I would say he's probably the biggest like dark horse for me, in my opinion. Kirk Cousins, you know, new system there as well. I could see, again, him having a big year statistically with everybody kind of, you know, figuring out the new Kevin O'Connell offense in the NFC North, and there are the weapons. And
yeah.
I mean, gosh, Kirk Cousins is throwing for 33, 35 touchdown passes every year here recently. So he's not that far off the pace from being involved in this.
PointsBet walked me right into this one, Chris.
Yeah.
You ready?
Yeah.
At plus 5,000, they have Garoppolo and Lance listed at plus 5,000.
Wow, plus 5,000.
Who would get your 10 if you had to put it on one of those two guys?
I'm going to go with Trey Lance all the way.
All right.
I am. Yes, the 49ers, I will be shocked if it's not Trey Lance. And I mean, I feel like Shanahan told us at the owners' meeting that you know they feel like Trey Lance is ready to start. Right? They can say what
they
want
to do.
And do whatever they want. But, yeah, that'll be interesting. And, listen, I think there's some value with these bets. I do think when I think about gambling a little bit, because I have gotten involved or thought about it more over the last year and a half. These kind of bets are the ones that intrigue me, and I actually think that this is where you can make some money. Long shot, longer bets down the road, you know, betting on a team's success maybe at the end of the year instead of just that particular game.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, I like the way this team looked in the preseason, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I'm going to put some money down on a
like a successful season and do that. This is the same type of thing. These are the ones I think I would get into if I was into gambling a little bit more and really throwing my own money.
You say you're thinking about it, like on the drive to work or like sitting down at the laptop at home, like
just
really
like
thinking
when
about
I just sit
being
there,
the business
I gotta
guy.
Pick games so many times. Sometimes yeah. I have to do videos for PointsBet and everything like that to where it's gotten me to think of those things. And to me, and talking to my man Jay Croucher,
yep.
I think that's the way he gambles a little bit on stuff like that, futures, stuff like that.
Yeah.
That to me seems to be where you can do it rather than the I hope my team wins or I hope my guy plays good today or I lose a lot of money. So that's for you to figure out, all right? Download the PointsBet app. Use code NBC2K to sign up, all right? Get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. I mean, come on. Doesn't get any better than that. If you're in an eligible state, PointsBet has an exclusive sign-up offer for Unbuttoned listeners that you can't miss. You cannot miss it. Download the PointsBet app. Use code NBC2K to sign up and get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. So say you bet $100 on Zach Wilson to lead the league in passing touchdowns. If you win, you'll get $4,000, but if you lose, you will still get free bets worth $100.
You can't
lose. So it's a no lose, no lose, no lose situation. It's a win-win is what they say.
I like no lose, no lose.
Once the game starts, don't just bet. Live your bet life with PointsBet.
Yeah, you really can't lose.
You can't lose.
It's win-win.
No, no.
Right?
No doubt about it.
It's hard not to become a gambler when you hear that.
I know. You know, I'm sitting here, you got me like curious now because I'm going like, you know, I wonder some of the other guys that have led the league in touchdown passes over the last few years. We had Lamar Jackson be another one you could certainly see there.
Plus 55.
Yeah, that's – I know. For a guy that's, you know, sure puts a lot of touchdowns on the board, that is a little low, it does seem like. But, you know, honestly, as you sit here and look – okay, here we go. 3 years ago, we had a team like Jameis Winston. He threw 33 touchdown passes. It was second in football. They didn't go to the playoffs. That was the year he threw. So, you know, to your point, there's a dark horse guy that's out of nowhere a little bit where – you know, bad defense, team's not that good. You sometimes can, you know, manipulate the stats or you're playing catch-up and the stats can be a lot better for you as a quarterback because of that.
And if you put 100 down on that, if I'm reading this correctly, you'll still get free bets worth 100 if your guy doesn't come through and win.
That's right. Yep. Look at you.
Insane.
Reading and everything
I know,
over here.
I know. I'm just listening. I'm listening. Because you are mentoring.
I'm mentoring you.
You signed up to mentor
that was me. That was good what Dad said today.
I know, right?
That really, he kind of put it in perspective to how, like, everybody's a little too crazy about the mentoring thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, a little too crazy. All right. Speaking of crazy, I am doing another quarterback countdown, top 40. That'll be on Monday. You know where to find me. It shall begin for the next month, the criticizing of Chris Sims and his rankings.
I love this time of year.
So here we go. Please, you know, again, pay attention. You know where to find us. Everybody have a good rest of the week. Enjoy whatever, NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, Yanks are playing good. That's a real positive thing.
Or
USFL. Damn it. Damn, you had me choking. I was like, wait, what else am I missing?
Friday night,
USA.
I have.
Yeah.
I'm actually running home to do meetings. I have the Tampa Bay Bandits.
Bandits.
Led by Todd Haley.
Right.
And the Michigan Panthers under the leadership of Jeff Fisher.
Jeff Fisher, okay. Yeah. All right.
They just cut their kicker.
Old and
their
well,
kicker
they
missed
should
an extra point and
it.
A 21-yard field
he
goal.
He deserves to be cut after that.
Three-man booth.
Yes.
Yes. Mike Robinson, per usual.
Right.
And all-pro defensive lineman Cam Jordan.
Wow, that's pretty good. All right. Tell Cam to stop beating up his kids in one-on-one basketball, okay? All right.
We
watched that video today. All right, everybody. Be safe. Be good. Paul, you the man. Thanks for driving the ship, as always. We'll see you next week. Chris Sims, top 40 quarterback countdown coming on Chris Sims Unbuttoned on Monday. Peace. See ya. Hi, everyone. Chris Sims here. This June marks 50 years since Title IX passed into law. While many advancements have been made, issues of inequality continue to persist in women's sports. Ahead of the anniversary, NBC News and NBC Sports have launched In Their Court, a four-part podcast hosted by U.S. Olympic medalist Ibtihaj Muhammad that explores the evolution of Title IX through the eyes of one pivotal sport, women's basketball. This series will feature the stories of the women who, over the past 50 years, fought for Title IX, advanced it, and are now using their voices to pay it forward on and off the court.
I got something to show y'all. So for the NCAA March Madness, the biggest tournament in college basketball for women, this is our weight room.
Let me set the scene for you. It's 2021. University of Oregon forward Sedona Prince has posted a video on TikTok that has kickstarted a national conversation, a conversation about the lack of equality between men and women in sports. In this video, she points to a small pyramid of weights, the kind you might find in someone's garage. And then,
let me show y'all the men's weight room.
She's now showing us an enormous convention space. In it, there are weight benches, pull-up bars, tons of state-of-the-art equipment. It makes the women's facilities look like a joke. This video made people mad.
All of a sudden, then, it was like, wait, how is that allowed? Didn't Title IX fix all this?
How dare these men that are running the NCAA treat women like this 50 years after a law has been passed to demand that women are treated fairly?
That became the question on the tip of everyone's tongue. How is this still happening? This June marks the 50th anniversary of Title IX, a federal law that was revolutionary for women's sports.
There it is. Ah, they'll be dancing late into the night.
Women's sports was the immigrant story. It was starting with nothing and building something from scratch.
And yet, it still feels like we have a long way to go.
Looking back, now we're fighting so many more battles about getting more women in leadership positions, getting more women coaching. So maybe we made the wrong decision way back then.
From NBC News and NBC Sports, I'm Olympic medalist Ibtihaj Muhammad, and this is In Their Court, a five-part series that tells the story of Title IX through the rich history of women's basketball. In Their Court launches May 9th. So lace up your sneakers and put on your game face. Follow or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.